Thanks for joining us today, and welcome to the June 21st service of North Star Mennonite Church. We're coming to you from Drake, Saskatchewan, and I'm Irene Bartel, and I'll be leading you in this morning's worship, or afternoon, or whenever you're listening to it, I guess. We're well into our third month of not seeing each other in church. The smiles, hugs, and firm handshakes are sure missed. Every one of us is affected differently, but what stays the same is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are still alive and within us and through us. And that's why we continue to worship, knowing the sovereignty of our Creator is in control of this world and this pandemic. And that's why we continue to worship in whatever way we can during this time. So continue supporting each other, encouraging each other in your small group meetings, in your coffee times, and your walks along the road. Dan Graber will be sharing with us a message entitled God, the Model Father, a fitting topic as we celebrate Father's Day today. I'd like to spend a few minutes honoring our fathers with this poem and a prayer of blessing. What makes a dad? God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, the generous soul of nature, the comforting arm of night, the wisdom of the ages, the power of an eagle's flight, the joy of a morning in spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the depth of a family's need. Then God combined these qualities when there was nothing more to add. He knew his masterpiece was complete, and so he called it Dad. And we don't know the author of this, but he sure should have put his name to it. It's a good poem. Join me in a prayer of blessings for our fathers. Loving and merciful God, our thoughts and prayers today are turned toward our fathers. For those whose fathers have increased the joy in their families' lives, we give you thanks. For those good men who sustain and support us in our living, who offer love to us no matter what, we give you thanks. For those fathers facing increased demands, a loss of job, and the uncertainty caused from this pandemic, we offer prayers for patience, wisdom, and an increased hope. For those whose fathers have been a source of hurt and pain, may their wounds be healed. And may they find in you, in us, in others, the nurturing love that is needed for their well-being. We also pray that these fathers find forgiveness. For those fathers who are separated from their children, give them the insight and the perseverance to parent in whatever ways are open to them. Give them the courage to make the decisions that allow their children to thrive. For those fathers whose relationships with their children have been difficult or disappointing, we pray. We pray too for those fathers who have lost a child. We turn to you, most holy God, for the consolation where consolation seems impossible. For single fathers who struggle to be both parents to their children, may they find strength and wisdom for their task. For those who have already lost or are facing the immediate loss of their fathers, may they find comfort in the love that their fathers have given them. Bless our fathers today, Lord, with an extra measure of love. Amen. For a call to worship this morning, it's based on Jeremiah 31. Shout for the Lord, O God, who loves us with an everlasting love, as a father loves his children, who who gather us together from the north and the south and the east and the west, who lead us beside still quiet streams and show us the way we should go. Spend a few minutes in time of prayer and invocation and confession. God of grace, you created our minds to grow in wisdom. You created our hearts to expand with love for you and your world. You created our voices to sing your praise forever. Fill us to overflowing with your Spirit, so we may worship you in spirit and in truth, bold and unafraid to follow you in the name of Jesus our Lord. God who creates the future, you call us to follow you. Yet we confess, we prefer to remain where we are. You offer us new beginnings, yet we continue to make the same familiar choices. You invite us into the fullness of life, yet we distance ourselves from you and each other through fear and doubt. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us from every unworthy thought, word and deed with the grace of Jesus our Lord. Rouse us by your Spirit to be intentional, courageous disciples even when the world does not welcome us, or the word we welcome us, or the word we proclaim in Jesus. This we pray in your name. Amen. Hear these words of confession. Do not doubt God's power and might. It is God who has created all that is. It is God who has called you. He has called you to your hearts and spirits. Do not be afraid to make a new start. God will go with you. Praise be to God. Amen. I'd just like to highlight a few announcements this week. On Monday, June 22nd, there will be a council meeting. And if you're not on council but have things to share, speak with someone who is on the council. And we're going to be discussing a lot about what the upcoming worship means for our church. Then we continue to receive offering, and the season we're in right now in the calendar is Pentecost. So Pentecost season celebrates the gifts of the Spirit that were energized in the church to touch the world with God's love and mercy, God's truth and justice. Whatever you offer back to God becomes a gift which can change the world for the sake of Jesus. And that's a pretty powerful statement. I'll just reread that. Whatever you offer back to God becomes a gift which can change the world for the sake of Jesus Christ. Let's pray for the offering. O God, you are kind and generous to us, so we bring our gifts to you in gratitude. Pour your Holy Spirit out on these gifts and on our lives, so that we may bear fruit of your Spirit in everything we do and every life we touch. We pray in the name of Jesus, our living Lord. Amen. For our scripture readings this morning, I'll be reading two, one from the Psalm and one from 1 Thessalonians. And the first one is Psalm 78, and I'll be reading verses 1 to 8. I like the way the Message said it, so I'll be reading it out of the Message. Listen, dear friends, to God's truth. Bend your ears to what I tell you. I'm chewing on the morsel of a proverb. I'll let you in on the sweet old truth. Stories we heard from our father's council, we learned at our mother's knee. We're not keeping this to ourselves, we're passing it along to the next generation. God's fame and fortune, the marvelous things he has done. He planted a witness in Jacob, set his world firmly in Israel, then commands our parents to teach it to their children, so the next generation would know, and all the generations to come. Know the truth and tell the stories to their children, so that they may trust in God. Never forget the works of God, but keep his commands to the letter. Heaven forbid they should be like parents, bullheaded and bad, a fickle and faithless bunch who never stayed true to God. And then from the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 2:7-12. But we were as gentle among you as a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so dearly that we gave you not only God's message, but our own lives too. Don't you remember, dear brothers, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled and sweated to earn enough to live so that our expenses would not be a burden to anyone. As we preached God's news among you, you yourselves are witnesses, as is God, that we may have pure and honest and faultless and live faultless towards every one of you. We talk to you as a father to his own children. Don't you remember? Pleading with you, encouraging you, and even demanding that your daily lives should not embarrass God, but bring joy to him who invited you into his kingdom to share his glory. May God add his blessing and understanding to his word.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Thanks, Irene, for the Father's Day thing she pulled together to get us started. What is one positive memory and experience you had with your father as a child? Or maybe you don't remember a father, but you remember a man when you were little who was kind and helpful to you. So as a child, what is one encounter with your father or an adult male that you remember with happiness? My father wasn't perfect, but I knew he loved me. Often at night when he was not traveling, he would be in the living room with us, but usually he was mentally thinking about work. But when we would play games, he'd be fully with us. And him just being available offered opportunities for many conversations. Also, seeing him reading Barclay commentaries and then them laying around the living room was a witness to us. I remember one special camping trip where he took a bunch of my friends out for a whole weekend. And he helped each of his children with money for university. But what was most important were the life lessons he taught us. Not as much by telling us, but by his living. So let's think about fathers and men this Father's Day. Men all over the world have their work cut out for them, because science and sociology is finding that the Bible is right. Exodus 34 tells us, yet God does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation. This sounds cruel, but I don't think it means God seeks out and punishes children for their parents' sins. Instead, I think it means that the influence of a parent on their child can be positive or negative. And this influence affects not just their children, but their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So I think the Bible is saying adults have a great responsibility toward their offspring, to the third and fourth, and I would even add to future generations. This includes all grandfathers, great-grandfathers, uncles, and so on, any man in the family system. And today, with governments going into huge debt, what's that promising for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren? So what does this mean in real terms? Well, we know that many of the men in prison, in some places up to 80% of them, did not have a father in the home when they grew up. We know that men desert their wife and children, not just physically, but emotionally and financially. And they are abusive toward women and children. A result of the coronavirus quarantine is divorces have increased, as well as child abuse and wife abuse. I saw a little blurb, I didn't pay a lot of attention to it at the time on the news, but the Chinese government was encouraging couples in Wuhan, where the coronavirus started, to wait a while before they filed for divorce. Or at least they were trying to slow down the process. I guess being in quarantine was just really, really tough for both men and women and probably children. We know boys without good male role models in their lives has more problems growing up, and they tend to have a harder time in life. So I don't think it's an accident that in the Bible the words and idea of fathers and fatherhood are mentioned with almost 2,000 direct references in the Old and New Testaments. Many of these terms are used to talk about God as Father. Without a doubt, fatherhood has long been on the mind of our Creator. We know that fatherhood is the greatest delight of a man's life, but it is also his biggest challenge. So what can we learn today? Here is a quick list of ideas and Bible verses for fatherhood and for all men toward children from various parts of the Bible. It's a good list for men to follow. We can never be the perfect father that God is for all of us, but we can do our best to father our children, and we can be a spiritual father to others. We have the privilege to nurture our children, so we need to do it well. What does fathering look like? First, gently, kindly lead your children and love them. James 3 reminds us that God wants to be gentle with us. This is our model for fathers. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. We have precious, impressionable children to love and model for and teach. Second, avoid inducing fear or irritating them. Ephesians 6 tells us, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Keep track of when your children are angry with you. Is it because of the way you talk with them, your tone of voice, or what? It might be your style that's the problem and not the content or specific issue. Are we dictators giving orders, or are we teachers helping our children and grandchildren think and evaluate? Third, regularly choose to stay at home with your family. It's so easy to run, to leave, and to desert our wife and children. In some ways, that's been a blessing, I believe, in healthy families during this coronavirus time. But one statistic suggested 70% of married men under the age of 40 expected they'd have an affair at some point. This is not good. This lack of solid commitment is bad for our children. We are asked to guarantee our love, which is not just words but behavior, like God is toward us. Psalms tells us, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Fourth, be intimate with your kids and caring. The tendency of many men, I know that's for me, is to want to fix things, to find out what went wrong, to teach, to discipline, and so on. But often it's simply better to listen and give them a hug. It's important to give time to just be with them. Hang around time where you just be together is very important. It may seem like a waste of time, but it really isn't. Let's look at the example of Jesus when it comes to intimacy. He calls us to follow him. In the same way, we want our children to follow us, not in careers as much as in growing in the personal traits and characteristics of a follower of Jesus. John 15 gives us Jesus' model of intimacy with him. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is an example of what we are to strive for as parents. Quantity time with our children is just as important as quality time. The argument that quality time is better, I just have never bought. It's essential to be available for our children. That's often when the real important conversations and short life lessons take place. In all relationships, especially with children, when they know they are loved by our behavior, they usually will listen better, more often, and be respectful. Both my wife and I had fathers who traveled a lot for the church. So before we were married, we agreed we would not take jobs that involved travel. We were both stay-at-home parents when our children were home. We hung around and did apply for some attractive jobs. Fifth, men, it's important to encourage, support, cheerlead, reassure, and inspire your children and the young people in your lives. This is so important. Don't have the habit of criticizing them. This has to be done verbally as well as materially. This includes, you know, people that are divorced. Fathers, pay those child payments. Do what it takes to keep up, to support your children. When every one of my children was young, I had this game I played with them. I would hold them and say things like, "You have the best looking ears of any 6-month-old around." I did that right from when they were born. "The way you shared your toys with your friend was awesome." Actually, you can do that when they're a little older. "I like the way you were kind when you needed to defend yourself." "The way you included that new kid was being like Jesus." "You are the most intelligent grade 3 child I know." "I'm impressed with the hard work you put in to get the grade you did. You get the idea. Be your children's greatest cheerleader, just like God lifts us up. Now when I start with a list of this kind of cheerleading, and my children are all over the age of 30, before the second line is off my lips, they all start blushing, have a big smile, and say, "Dad!" Children of any age have to hear the words. Saying "I love you" is important, but not enough. Be specific in your encouragement. And when you do a list like I've done, you need to be real. Otherwise, it quickly becomes just a bunch of noise. The Bible is full of encouragement from God. Isaiah 41. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Jesus in John 14 assures us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So we need to constantly do the same for our children. Sixth, provide for our children. We all know stories about being the bank for our children. We know it's not good to give them all they want, but it's good to encourage them with a little like with experiences like sports, music lessons, and other things. But don't let those things run your lives. In Genesis 50, God promises, "So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. I'm talking about finances now, but part of providing for your children, and maybe the more important part, is providing love and a good example. I remember when one of my children asked for a meeting with my wife and myself. When we sat down, we were asked for money so they could go to grad school. We said no. We had provided enough money for a bachelor's degree and a car, so he only had a small loan for university. We could not afford to help him with cash to go to graduate school. But we were happy for him to live at home for free for 2 years, the first 2 years of school. And then he went on to his second degree. He got his master's living at home and then his doctorate. And he actually had lived at home while he was working. So he had free rent, utilities, and all the food he wanted from us. Giving too much to your children is just as bad as not providing enough. Earlier, this same child was so desperate to get away from us when he first went to university. But when he came back home at Christmas, he had a different attitude toward his parents. He discovered we were not such bad parents after all. Plus, he found out that we were helping him with his university costs more than many of his new friends. So it may take some time for a child to realize how good a parent you are. And now, in later years, we can give cash gifts to all our children to pay off debts, build their safety net, to come see us, or fund retirement. Seventh, be there for your children when things are tough and go through bad events with them. You might need to adjust your schedule. You might need to do some tough discipline. You might have to do something that makes you uncomfortable. Well, I'll switch to a mother's example, but my mother bravely went to a math teacher who had a strict and mean reputation, at least with the students, and she said, "Can you check your math?" Imagine. "Because my son thinks he should have a B and not a C on his report card." The math teacher discovered he had calculated wrong and changed my grade. Hooray, Mom! Hooray, male math teacher! And that changed my perspective on this man. And later, when I had graduated, he held American Thanksgiving weekend get-togethers for anybody from the high school I graduated from. And it was a great chance to meet old friends. It was a gift. We just took our sleeping bags, slept on the floor, and his house was full of university-age students. Be loyal to them in action to help them prepare for their future. That's what this math teacher did. But that's what fathers are asked to do. Psalm 27 promises us, "Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." So regardless of who abandons us, betrays us, or hurts us, the Lord is ready, willing, and able to embrace us. We need to be like that for our children and spouse when they have troubled friendships and hard times and make mistakes. We should not always rescue them, but be there for them. Eighth, love your children's mother. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Treat her like a treasure. Help around the house. Your wife is not your housekeeper, laundress, dishwasher, and cook." A few years ago, I lived with some single men, and the topic of how to find a wife came up from time to time. One piece of advice I gave was, watch how that girl you are interested in treats her dad. That's how she is going to treat you after the honeymoon is over. One of the best ways to raise a child is to love your spouse. The best teacher is your actions and your attitude toward the woman and women in your life. Your children's security is wrapped up in how tight the partnership is between mom and dad. Ninth, be involved in church and ministry. I can't say enough that we teach by our actions more than our words. Children see what we do, and that sticks more than what we say. We can preach and teach all we want, even nag our children, but it's what we do, how we live out our commitment to follow Jesus, that comes through. There are no Christian grandchildren. We are the best witness for Jesus for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and family systems. Matthew 5 tells us, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We could say a lot more about fathers. This list is just a start. And each of these ideas could be a whole sermon in themselves. I could talk about the importance of doing things together, like camping, gardening, traveling, working together, and doing all sorts of activities. But let's stop with a 10th learning or instruction. Number 10 is forgive your father. And parents, forgive your children. To have good relationships, it's crucial to be forgiving persons. To be the best parent possible, you need to be able to forgive your father. You don't need that cloud hanging over you. Why? Because he's human. We all sin. You are human also. This means you are a lot like your dad because humans are flawed. And being human, you will require an extra dose of God's grace to be able to forgive him, possibly. Another reason to forgive your father is your father is a product of a fallen world and flawed parents and grandparents. Whatever your father sins, he too is a child of God. And you will eventually want mercy also. Therefore, we would do well to show mercy. Jesus said, "Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us." Why is it important to forgive? Forgiveness opens the grace channel. It frees us, but resentment and anger clogs it up and shuts off the daily supply of God's grace you and I continually need. Pastor Gary Ingrig writes, "Forgiveness is ultimately an act of the will, not a stirring of emotions. For a Christ follower, it's a choice to obey God and let it go. This is an inward choice that produces a declaration given, a promise spoken, 'I forgive you.' When I speak these words, I declare that the issue between us is dead and buried. I'm saying that I will not rehearse it, review it, or renew it. When it comes to my mind, I will take it to the Lord and to the foot of the cross, not to the other person." I hope these 10 points about being a father are helpful to you. God the Father is our example. Being a father is the biggest responsibility in your life. It has long-lasting effects. May your children of any age at this time next year say, "Have you noticed that Dad has become a better father this last year?" Proverbs 23:25 tells us, "May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful." The Message version of this verse is a lot more eloquent and probably goes beyond the bounds of the verse, but not beyond the bounds of the thought. Listen with respect to the father who raised you. And when your mother grows old, don't neglect her. Buy truth. Don't sell it for love or money. Buy wisdom. Buy education. Buy insight. Parents, rejoice when their children turn out well. Wise children become proud parents. So make your father happy. Make your mother proud. Happy Father's Day. Let's turn to a time of prayer. Just one kind of announcement. This is Refugee Week. Around June 20th is Refugee Week. We can call this Refugee Sunday, I guess. The end of Monday's racism reflection that those on our email list will get, and it's also on our church website, has some information and a list added about refugees. And I include that partly because of timing, but also because racism and related kinds of things, putting other people groups down, is also why we have so many refugees. I mean, there are other reasons, economics, war, and, you know, political struggles and stuff, but and droughts and, you know, weather and stuff. But part of that is all tied up with racism. Let's pray. Jesus, we do pray for the upcoming council meeting. We ask your help to hear each other, to speak clearly, to articulate our emotions about opening up, resuming church again without singing, the fears we have, also the joys we have, I heard this week from my brother-in-law, who's a epidemiologist veterinarian, or a veterinarian epidemiologist. He said a lot of people in his circles don't like the term social distancing because they prefer the term physical distancing, and we can still be social like we are just now through YouTube. But how do we move forward? How do we feel safe? How do we respect each other's needs and wants? We just asked your wisdom in our meeting. We thank you for the good deacons meeting we had last Tuesday. That helped again to reflect. And we thank you for the Mennonite Church Saskatchewan Zoom meeting we had Monday or Tuesday night. Our deacons meeting was Wednesday, and Tuesday night we had this panel, what comes after the pandemic meeting. So we've had some input and discussion, but we ask for your continued guidance. And we lift up the refugees around the world. There's more now, Jesus, and you know this, than any time since World War II. That's just not a good direction the world is going in. And this is just another one of those signs that we're just not getting it right. Not just as any country, but as a world. Because it's a multi-country, multi-regional problem, multi-ethnic struggle between economy and wages and safety and racism and religion. And Jesus, I'm sure you understand the situations better. God of compassion and courage, in our weakness, you are strength. In our darkness, you are light. In our sorrows, you are comfort and peace. Embrace each situation we remember in our prayers this day with your steadfast love. We thank you, Jesus, for moments of joy that break into our lives, even in the strange times of pandemic and reopening of our communities, for love given and received, for friends who furnish our life with meaning and happiness, and for family who embrace us with love and understanding. And we thank you for all caring and faithful fathers celebrated this day. Remember those whose fathers have died, and pray for those fathers cut off from their families. We know many parents, mothers, fathers, grandparents, aunts, and uncles who have left home seeking employment so they can send their hard earnings home to sustain their families, keep them safe, and help them be prosperous and give them comfort as they are so far from loved ones. And we pray for fathers who we need to be good examples to help sustain, support, and lead their families, children, communities, and this world. They, along with mothers and family units, are who societies depend on to nurture children in each other and their communities and countries. Jesus, help us to do good. May your strength and blessing and example, God, be with each one of us, so that your kingdom light and peace be that light on the hill for all to see. For those who are fathers, we ask for wisdom and humility in the face of the task of parenting, regardless of what your situation is. Give fathers the strength to do the will, to do well by their children and by you. In your holy name, O God, we pray. God of the nations, we pray for our country and countries around the world so deeply affected by COVID-19. Guide leaders to make wise decisions about reopening communities and give patience and courage to those whose lives have been disrupted, especially those who fear what the future holds. Wherever injustice rules and misinformation confuses, protect the vulnerable and shine the light of your truth to reveal the path to justice and renewed hope. God of compassion, we pray for peace to prevail in places torn by war, and ask that respect for human life will grow wherever people are abused or scorned. We pray for all those who are suffering and for all who mourn significant loss. Surround them with your love and support them with the strength of your spirit. Open our eyes to see how we might bring comfort to those who are hurting, and we might bring healing and better policies and better attitudes to those who are hurting. We remember those who are refugees and displaced, even within their own nation. We seek and trust and ask for God's promise of abundant life. In a world where no human has to fear for their life or liberty, we thank you that we have been able over the years to sponsor refugees from all over the world to find peace, encouragement, and stability in a new home. So this World Refugee Week, we are thankful for the congregation and groups across Canada and around the world who welcome and make refugee sponsorship possible. And may we be willing and able to continue to welcome those in need who are trying to find security and safety. Eternal God, you hold the dead as well as the living in your tender care. We thank you for your people in every age who have entered into your heavenly presence, especially those dear to our own hearts. Keep us in communion with them and bring us to dwell with them at the last in your everlasting light. Hear us as we offer prayers in silence for the concerns of our hearts this day. And now may we pray together in the words of St. Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Going out to serve, closing in benediction. I pray you have a good week coming up in whatever your work and play and relationships are. So for the benediction, hear these words. Lead us from death to life, from falsehood to truth. Lead us from despair to hope, from trust, from fear to trust. Lead us from hate to love, from war to peace. Fill our hearts, let peace fill our hearts, our world, our universe. Let us dream together, pray together, work together to build one world of peace and justice for all. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace.